Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We're going to talk with Dar Anoka from SEC Network coming up here in just a minute. Real quick, Mike, we were talking about this Antonio Brown saga, and our man Bruce Arians came out. I say our man because Bruce is a friend of the show. He's come on and been on with us numerous times, but he's now the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He went on Adam Schefter's podcast and basically said that Antonio Brown's got to make better decisions off the field, and he's a diva. Antonio Brown has responded in a tweet, Mike, basically saying, Bruce Arians didn't draft me. He drafted E. Sanders. That's Emmanuel Sanders. Same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on situation he gave zero clue. These are his words, not mine. Arians now wears cane gold hats and glasses, but I'm a diva. Done seen it all, and they say we friends. Stop lying. That's from Antonio Brown. People are killing Antonio Brown, saying, yeah, clearly not a diva. Thanks for proving his point.
Yeah, remember last offseason how he was talking about, like, my kid's got to read this, you know, as if the stuff that he is going to suffer under the yoke of media coverage. And he just, you know, he fuels the fire. And, look, we've argued so much about Julio versus Antonio, and Antonio got in the end zone, has gotten in the end zone a lot more than Julio the last couple seasons. But then you look at the things like, you know, the intangibles, like heart. Julio plays in a meaningless last of the regular season game against Tampa Bay and goes for a touchdown and 140 yards. Antonio Brown, with his team's season on the line, has checked out and is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, there's things where, you know, like, the guy's an amazing athlete. Nobody debates that. But now there's a huge X factor when you bring him into your team. Does he disrupt the locker room? Does this continue? I mean, it's amazing. The Steelers go from Super Bowl favorite to now a team which, you know, who knows where they're going next season.
Well, they lost their running back, and it looks like they're going to lose their star wide receiver. More about this coming up. But right now, let's say hello to Dar Anoka, friend of the show. Last time we saw him, guys, we were getting ready for the SEC Championship. You watch him on SEC Network. And, Dar, let's start with the news of the day, man, talking about your alma mater. By the way, you guys won your bowl game. Texas did. How you been?
Oh, shots fired.
You know I had to get you.
It's all good. It's good. You know I don't go in expecting our guys to win bowl games. What do you think we're talking about here? Come on now.
Dar in Oklahoma.
You cannot be a Sooner and not have a hellacious dose of reality. You kind of got to know who you're dealing with. You know?
But the news today, though, I think Sooner fans are excited. We get word that Jalen Hurts is transferring to Oklahoma. A lot of people saying, all right, Lincoln Riley gets to reload after losing, you know, Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden now, Jalen Hurts is going to be in contention maybe for a Heisman with Tua and Trevor Lawrence. Who knows? But he goes to Oklahoma where they throw it around.
This is it is big news. And I remember hearing 2 months ago, you know, that there was going to be interest in this, at least from OU's perspective. And, you know, it made sense. And I think on the surface, I think OU people, well, I know OU people are thrilled. National championship, you'll associate him with Nick Saban and all that, and everybody's, and I think it's a really good get for OU. But I don't think that this isn't going to be easy for Jalen. And I don't believe Lincoln Riley is assuring him anything. They've got the number one kid in high school coming in, Spencer Rattler, but now he won't be there till summer, so it will be difficult for Spencer to get where he needs to be. They got a dude from Texas that's really good. Tanner Mordecai is his name, and he's a dual threat guy. Like, I know Lincoln at all, and I think I do, there will be a competition Jalen will have to win. That would not have been the case, in my opinion, at Miami, and it certainly wouldn't have been the case at Maryland. So I think he's setting him up for the highest level or the highest ceiling of potential success. But I also think that he's got a little bit of work to do, especially as a passer, to just slide into that offense and tear it up.
Yeah, it's Dar Anoka. He's an Oklahoma guy. Don't make him a bad person. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, Dar, the thing is, you're right. You go from two back-to-back, you know, Heisman Trophy winners to a guy that kind of in the Nick Saban mold is a more athletic but game manager. I think I know it sounds like the dirty word to call a guy that's won as much as he has.
I think that's probably fair. You know, the one unknown here, you know, we all know that he was not a great passer before. But then we saw him replace Tua in the SEC championship game, and he made throws that, frankly, we hadn't really seen him make on a consistent basis until then. So how much did the work with Dan Enos help him? And is he truly a different passer, a vastly improved passer than the Jalen Hurts we saw for the first two seasons? If he is, look out. Now, he is not Kyler Murray, and he is not Baker Mayfield. For all of the things those guys did so well, I think, honestly, both were underrated as passers, which seems crazy. They won Heisman trophies, but I don't think they get enough credit, especially Kyler, for the kind of arm, the kind of accuracy he has. This isn't Jalen. Even if Jalen's better than he was, this still is not Jalen. So, you know, I want to, like, kind of pump the brakes a little on here comes the third straight Heisman Trophy and playoff spot. First, he's got to win the job. Second, he's got to show that he's a better passer than we really remember Jalen as.
Dari Noka from SEC Network joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Dari talking college football with us. And, you know, I want to shift gears and just talk about the portal. Because Mike and I spent a lot of time over the last few weeks talking about this with our own Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State. And we spent a lot of time on this. And people here in Georgia, obviously, you know, the new rules, the portal. And then we see this movement with you know, Jalen. And now, you know, Tate Martell. This is changing recruiting, isn't it? Does it take away a little bit from the recruiting aspect when you know some of these guys are going to end up somewhere else and how the rules are changing now?
Well, I mean, like, you know, guys, this has happened for years. It just hasn't had a place where we can all dive in, or certain people can dive in and then publicize the names that are in it. The portal didn't exist, but quarterbacks not wanting to compete with others or sit behind others, transferring is nothing new. We just have a different element to it now. Now we know who's in it. Now we know who's looking. It wasn't just one day where so-and-so announces he's going to transfer to blankety blank university, and we're like, oh, really? No, didn't even know he was looking. Now we know who's looking. Now it makes it more intriguing. Now it feels like free agency. Like, you know, the best offseason storyline in every sport is always free agency. Now we have free agency in college football. You know, the mindset of a quarterback not wanting to sit, not wanting to compete, that's just coming with the generation that we're dealing with right now. Nobody wants to compete. Nobody wants to sit. Everybody just wants to jump in and play because there's a sense of a ridiculous entitlement that they should just get to do that.
Right.
Well, that's not how it works. Now they have a place to go. They have a place to let coaches find them, call them, and be re-recruited one more time because it makes them feel good. Called a portal. The idea is nothing new. I just think the portal changes, you know, how much the public knows, which is great for college football, by the way, because this has been so damn fun to follow.
Puts it out there. And, you know, Dari Noka joins us from SEC Network at ESPN here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. But, you know, Dari, some says it devalues now the importance of signing day when you just touched on it, this whole subculture of the ego-stroked five-star quarterback. You know, are we going to spend a little less attention on this? Because now, you know, guy can go there, find out he doesn't laugh at the same jokes as the coach, and, you know, now he's in the portal.
Well, you know, signing day is, I think the beauty of signing day, very few programs in signing day ever get really, really excited, and fan bases ever get really, really excited about the elite quarterback, because there are only so many of those to go around. Signing day is where you build your lines of scrimmage. Signing day is where you want to see if you can stockpile a few really highly touted wide receivers. You know, signing day is our defensive secondary sucked. How many top 100 safeties and corners did we get? I think that's kind of what signing day is. And signing day is also for the fans, where does my program rank against my rival's program or against the programs in my conference? I don't think so, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't necessarily think signing day is all about the quarterback anymore. The portal is all about the quarterback.
Right.
The transfers are all about the quarterback. But maybe the only thing about it is when you're going over your favorite team's class or your coach and you're going over your class, maybe you just don't picture in your mind any quarterback coming in being in your uniform in 2 or 3 years. It's always going to be a possibility. There can only be one that plays, and they're the highest profile, potentially highest ego position in football. So maybe a little bit, but yeah, I don't think it. Now, I don't really follow the recruiting guy. I'm not a recruiting guy. I'd rather just wait and watch them in college, to be honest with you. But I realize there are so many people that are big recruiting people. Mm-hmm. I still think they'll get plenty excited about it.
Dari, let's talk about Clemson and where they are. It's Dari Noka, guys, on the line talking college football with us here on the show. And you know, obviously they dominate the championship game, and you want to elevate them. People want to elevate their program and say, oh, it's the premier program now. I still have Alabama right there just because of the longevity of what Nick Saban has done. But where is Clemson? I mean, are they there? They're equal now? I mean, what is? Are they the second best program in the country based on what, you know, Dabo and company have done over the last 5 years?
I think at this point in time they are 1 and 1A, and I don't even care which one's 1 and which one's 1A. I think I would put them in their own category together as the two elite of the elite programs in college football. They've each won two championships. One in the last 3 years, one in the last 4 years. I mean, these programs own college football right now. They absolutely own the sport of college football. They own big game performances in college football. This is they're similar. They're the same program. Yeah, Alabama may have had a few more ESPN one, you know, or 300 guys, whatever. They both have phenomenal staffs, even if Alabama's rotates a little bit more than maybe they like. They both have incredible depth. They're both solidly built up front on both lines of scrimmage. They both have incredible quarterback play, and they're both destinations for the best players in high school football. And now they both win championships, and they do them multiple, you know, and they'll win multiple championships in a short amount of time. These are the same program, and they are not going anywhere. Now, I got some Alabama fans mad at me because I said what many people have said, and I said it in the third quarter of the game. I said, we're seeing a dynasty come to an end. And we are. I mean, you can't have a dynasty, guys, if you lose two of the last three championship games to the same exact program. Like, by definition, they own you of late in these games.
Right.
You can't have a dynasty if you've got somebody that who has your number the way Clemson has Bama's in championship games. But they're the two best programs in football, and frankly, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon and anybody or Georgia, they're all a step behind because these are 1 and 1A.
It's Dari Noka, guys, from SEC Network and ESPN here as we give you the Dog Report and some college football brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. You mentioned teams, you know, beating teams at their rivals. I mean, when does Georgia break through? How does Georgia get clutch against Alabama?
Well, they almost did. I mean, they've been so close the last two times that they've played them. I mean, Georgia's they will not truly break through as an elite of the elite, in my opinion, until they beat Alabama, and until they win a national championship or another national championship. If you want to count, you know, what happened 4 decades ago. But this is
shot fired.
No, I mean it's reality. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not fired. My alma mater, we lose every big game. We're 0-6 in the last six championship. BCS championship or playoff games we've had. Like, Oklahoma can't be considered in that same realm as Bama and Clemson, and Georgia can't either. But they're close. I mean, obviously they're right there. They're going to be having a, you know, you can talk about your Longhorns beating Georgia, but don't tell me Georgia didn't have what happened against Alabama somewhere in the back of their head, right? You still get credit for the win.
Yes.
And that's great. But if you line them up 10 times on a neutral field in week 6 of a season, how many times you got Texas winning that thing?
Exactly.
Like, it's a good point. It's a good point. It is.
Georgia's close. I mean, Georgia's obviously close. We've watched enough football to know that.
Dari Noka joining us, guys. We're talking college football. And listen, he said it as we started the interview. The offseason now is intriguing for so many reasons. The portal thing, you know, obviously we've got another signing day coming up in February. But the way the season played out, you know, it's I can't wait till college football rolls back around. I'll be honest with you, because the idea is now that you're going to see some other teams that we haven't had a chance to see maybe compete. Notre Dame, real quick, I do want to mention this. They come to Georgia next year. They're going to have a daunting schedule, and everybody talked about maybe coaching changes. You don't see that, right? They're staying where they're not moving on from anybody.
Who, Notre Dame?
Yes.
Oh, goodness, no. This is the healthiest their program's been in 30 years. I think Notre Dame is
– because, Dari, the semifinal loss, you know, again, it makes people think that, all right, they're not where they should be.
Well, I tell you this. Nobody had them running the table until that this year, I don't think. What are they, 2-3 years away, removed from a 4 or 5-win season?
Yep.
They've got a great quarterback. They've got, like, most of their skill guys are coming back. you know, they reloaded the offensive line after losing two top 10 guys. Again, they're a step behind Bama and Clemson. There's no question. But I think Notre Dame's a very healthy program that's in that second level. And it'll be great. It'll be great to see to see Georgia and Notre Dame play in Athens. Although the first time they played, frankly, you look around the stadium, it looked like they were in Athens. But
right.
You know, it's still Notre Dame. But they're just not running the table this year.
I guess we've got like 20 seconds left, Dari, so got to be quick. But it's just because of the way they're losing when they get on the big stage, will that somehow alter? I guess the question is, would that alter the College Football Playoff Committee's feelings about them and another undefeated team next year if it could.
It could. And I think that's fair. But they are really – hey, they keep putting OU in and we keep losing. Like, they're really good about looking at a team as it stands in that season.
Right.
So I think they'll do their job.
Hey, man, appreciate you as always. Be safe. Good to talk with you, Dari. Take care.
Hey, you guys are fun, man. Have a great show.
Thanks so much. Hey, let's give you a chance to win some money right now playing our national signing bonus.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
– mask. M-A-S-K. Take the mask off.
Mask. Georgia masking some deficiencies. I mean, mask. You got to get clutch.
And by the way, don't be mad. If you're a Georgia fan, don't be mad at Dari for saying they need to beat Alabama to become
elite. Well, they do. Everyone knows it. He's just telling you what's going to go down. Mask, guys. Send that to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. All right, guys. We've got the Super Bowl rolling in here. 3 weeks to go. We're not going to screw this up, Atlanta.
You know, there are many things that are wonderful about our city. And it's going to be on display come Super Bowl week. Not the weekend, the week, okay?
Right.
And you're going to see everybody broadcasting and being here from all the various networks and all the shows and yada, yada, yada. And one of the things that works for our city is MARTA, to and from the airport. Now, I wish MARTA went to the burbs. It doesn't go OTP, but it can get you to Midtown and get you to downtown. It's one of the reasons why we got the Olympics back in 96. But, Mike, when MARTA's not working... It doesn't shine a bright light on our city. And right now, guys, for those of you who are not aware, that is the situation, especially when we talk about the airport.
Now, as far as the train, you guys may have already seen that. The service to the airport has jammed up right outside the actual final destination at the airport. Somehow it got off the rails, and they were having a hard time figuring out how to get this thing fixed. So they were busing folks down from the next to last station. And then that's, you know, you'd imagine the hassle that is, especially if you're trying to give yourself a tight window. Thing is now, between the TSA stuff and the work stoppage, which has got a lot of people calling in sick out of protest, I presume, or just the fact they've got people on a skeleton staff, the lines, TSA-wise, have been a thing at Hartsfield-Jackson. Then you throw in the MARTA issue. Are we going to screw this up? Because right now, I mean, this would be if you were leaving Atlanta. This would be a problem. If you were trying to get out of Atlanta,
yes.
You'd be complaining about that awful airport, how the train stopped. Let's hope that, you know, again, this kind of thing does not befall us. We know that the last time we had the Super Bowl, weather was beyond our control, and we're just not capable of handling ice and snow in this city. We don't spend money on the trucks. We don't have the resources. We just can't do that. So that is always the worry about an event in the winter. But how concerned are you about
concerned.
This?
Concerned. I really am. And, you know, I've heard from friends around the country who are like, yeah, Dukes, can't wait to get to A-Town, man, blah, 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 blah. And everybody's excited about coming to experience Super Bowl week in Atlanta because, again, it's been a long time since it's been here. Our city's changed a lot. But, Mike, there's so many great places to go eat and things to do, and everybody wants to get. But, you know, I am a little bit scared that, you know, some things may be out of our control and it may not go in our favor. Now, guys, if it does. And as Mike said, the weather, listen, that's Mother Nature. There's nothing we can do. You just got to be able to respond to it. I just wish we were prepared more for these situations, especially after the last few years with snow apocalypse and
right.
and being iced in and all the things that have happened just to the last 5 years. It's been crazy. There's been two snow or ice events that have happened that have shut the city down. So I wish we were more prepared with that. But if things go well, and we've said this, Atlanta will be in the mix because you got to add Vegas now. You got to add, you know, L.A. when getting a new stadium. But we're going to be in the mix to get another Super Bowl. But if it doesn't, for whatever reason,
right.
they ain't going to get put on the back burner.
Well, that's just it. You don't want to be like, you know, like Minneapolis, they got theirs because, again, you know, when owner puts the money in, you get the new stadium, you get at least one Super Bowl. But to Carl's point, you want to be in that rotation. Vegas and L.A. are going to get a bunch. Miami, the Hard Rock, gets the next Super Bowl. Raymond James in Tampa, which actually kind of could use a facelift.
It does.
Gets the next one, and I'm sure they'll do that. But yeah, man, it's certainly something which, like weather, if we get cold temps, I mean, because as we said, the last Super Bowl when the Giants played the Patriots,
Patriots was up in Indianapolis, and that's a very centrally located city. Everything is all – so all the touristy stuff and the restaurants, hotels are all right there. That's why they had the Final Four there so many times. But they lucked out with the weather. They had mild conditions. New York had mild conditions. Everybody was freaking out about the Broncos.
It was bad
Seattle
here.
Super Bowl. Yeah, we had worse weather here in Atlanta than they did in New York that weekend. I remember Bo Morgan, we were driving that was like, you know, when society just goes off the rails and everything breaks down. Cars coming the wrong way on the interstate. I'm not trying to give you everyone's got their Snowmageddon story, but we had to catch a plane to get to the Super Bowl at the time. And luckily, Bo has his rig in low four, and we're able to basically follow a truck that just plows through a fence, gets into the burbs over by Lankford Parkway, and we are just going. I'm navigating. It's like, you know, when you watch those rallies.
Wait. Time out. Plows through a fence, so you're in a field driving paved roads?
Right. You know where they always have that, like, little fair off of 85, off of 75?
Okay.
You know, south of 20? They always have that little carnival they set up. There was a piece of fence where somebody just plowed through that fence to get out of there because there were trucks and stuff coming the other way. And we just followed this dude, and next thing you know, we're just driving back roads to get over to the airport.
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. It's over there near – it's right over – it's like right over across from Turner – used to be Turner Field, now Georgia State Stadium.
Right.
And there's that neighborhood over there that they have like a barbecues and stuff when they used to tailgate down there. And this guy had went over a fence, and it was a chain link fence that was kind of half up, half down. And so he had just went over it. So Mike, he was like, turn right! You know how Mike is very demanding passenger.
Right lane.
So, no, he was like, you've ever watched those rally races where you have the guy that, you know, everyone's got the Hans device in the helmet, there's the navigator, 100 meters, turn right! You know, the other guy's the wheelman. So I was the navigator, and Bo was the wheelman.
I think we ended up near Lakewood at some point.
Yep. Oh, yeah,
we made it.
Brother, it was bananas. And then we get there and we find out, okay, folks, the pilot is stuck in Peachtree City. Yeah. We're going to be a while.
Yeah, but most people didn't fly out that day. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. You guys were lucky to get out. But, yeah, the weather here was worse than it was in Azura. I remember that well.
But if we get good weather for the Super Bowl, and imagine, like, the stuff down at Centennial Olympic Park, you know, we talked about the events. You know, you got a brand-new State Farm Arena. We're looking at this amazing stage they're building over at Atlantic Station that's going to be part of it. I mean, just gonna hope we get good weather. That's what's always, from the jump, it's been that. But we don't need MARTA screwing up, and we don't need our airport being a hot mess. So hopefully this thing, I mean, who knows where the government shutdown is going to go. But TSA guys, and I was getting hard and getting mean-spirited as far as talking about all the things I can't stand about, you know, the TSA line. It's just, Carl, even when they got fully staffed, it's not exactly the smoothest ride.
No, I always wonder, and again, maybe someone can answer this. Why is there like 80 dudes or ladies standing around, but there are no other lanes open?
That's my beef. Right? That's my beef. I mean, you've like, got all everybody's jacked up all the way back down to the a mile.
Yeah.
And you've got all the lanes aren't open. I mean, the TSA, it's just another damn government bureaucracy, which just drives me crazy. And I know every time we travel, we talked about this the other day. Carl's like, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't do it.
Not worth it. Not worth being pulled out of line. Not worth it. By the way, the crane to remove the derailed MARTA train will not arrive until Thursday.
Holy crap.
Okay.
So basically, it's the worst possible spot that the train could have gone off the tracks, basically.
Yeah.
Because where it's at up in the where the overhanging rail is, oh, my God. What a nightmare.
So,
well, at least it's not happening Super Bowl week.
No, it's not.
Because you'd be coming in for the Super Bowl and you couldn't get to the city.
That's right.
So we're going to take you on a bus, and then we're going to drop you off at East Point or college. I mean, that's a nightmare.
And by the way, at Hartsfield Jackson, and you guys, if you're traveling, you know this. It's Dukes and Bell. We're just talking about things that we are going to be talking about here over the next few weeks that are going to matter with all these folks coming to our wonderful city. 2-hour security wait Monday with more crowds coming, Mike. 2 hours. So the norm is, okay, get there 2 hours before for a domestic flight, right, for the most part. You're flying international, right. 3 hours. Okay, right. But you're telling me the TSA line was 2 hours? So you get to the airport, you may not make your flight.
Yeah, well, there was a story in the AJC on Monday about Tuesday, of the delays from people missing. Look, I get it. Whenever there's a labor issue, in this case, it's a work stoppage with the government, people are going to they're going to express their position one way or the other. Calling in sick and missing, you know. And the estimates are anywhere from 7 to 10% of normal workforce.
Yeah.
Or is higher than the average guys that would call in sick. That does not endear you to a flying public, which already thinks you guys can't do the job in the first place. That's my point.
It's going to be interesting.
And by the way, we know, and by the way, last to wrap up the TSA conversation, because we've got other fun stuff to talk about. We know guys that work for TSA, and they tell us it's beyond our power. It's the guys higher up that are screwing stuff up.
when you talk about why things
work. Isn't that usually the case?
It's always management screwing things up. It's like when you go to the hospital.
Isn't that
the nurse knows what's going on, the doctor doesn't. I mean, we know the drill, but we know that it could work probably pretty well, but they've found a way to make this even more screwed up.
We're going to keep our fingers crossed. We're going to praise all of our service industry folks and you know, people in the transportation community, everybody that's going to be a part of what it should be a smooth week of Super Bowl. Let's hope. But these are some of the things that we got to overcome. And I want to tell you guys, if MARTA is a blank show, just straight up, and if the airport is, we're going to hear about it.
Yeah, it
and
just does, you know,
and,
this,
and the national media, the narrative, because we did this in Dallas a couple of years ago. Dallas had the Super Bowl, and we were there, and there was a huge ice storm.
And they had a strike. Remember, there was a cab strike.
And you couldn't go anywhere, and you couldn't get a cab. And we wore Dallas out. I mean, we killed them. Nationally, everybody, you know, you're there talking to your audience, and so everybody's going, this place is awful. Let me tell you why. We don't want that for our city.
Right. I mean, unless, you know, some people, I don't give a, you know what? No, the same guys who want to get that Mike Conte conversation about Metro Atlanta. I live in Cartersville. I don't care. But if you do live in Metro Atlanta, where's your civic pride? You know, we don't want to be, you know, for what it's worth, you'd prefer this thing to come off without a hitch. Hey, man, we had Dari Noka on just last segment talking about the transfers. Bunch of guys hit us up on the text line, a couple guys on Twitter as well, saying, what did we think about Tate Martell? Because we did talk about that to start the show. Part of the whole transfer window going full circle. Tate Martell to Miami, and also it was the Notre Dame quarterback, Wimbush, going to UCF. We mentioned that yesterday. I mean, that's a lot of action in one off season in this transfer portal.
It is, but I think, as Dari said, you know, the difference is now we're aware of it. Transfers have been happening, and guys, you know what was funny? I remember, like, you know, you'd go to your whatever school you might follow or your allegiance to, and you'd go to those blogs, right?
Right.
Or you'd go to those
the old chat rooms.
The chat rooms, and everybody would be talking about, I heard such and such is leaving. And really, it was all just rumor and innuendo. Now you have an official portal that you can literally find out and go, all right, he's leaving. And so from that standpoint, people are going to be more informed about it and talking about it, Mike. But, yeah, I'm not surprised with the movement that has taken place. I am surprised, though, with where some of this has gone, like where some of these guys have
ended
up.
Well, it is kind of funny reading some of the national media talking about Jalen Hurts, who, if you hadn't already heard, is transferred to Oklahoma. He is transferring to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is blocking a graduate transfer to West Virginia, which some people are saying is a tad hypocritical.
It is. It is.
But as far as you know, Jalen Hurts, the guy leads his team an entire season and a quarter and a half into winning a national championship. But is he good enough to be quarterback at Oklahoma?
He is.
It's more than a game. To call this guy a more athletic game manager, we talked about that with Dara, I think that's disingenuous. This guy's going to be fine.
He's 26-2 as a starter with Alabama. If I told you I'd hand you a quarterback that's 26-2, would you take him? Hey, man, we got more coming up. Yeah, man, no man is on the way here on Dukes and Bell. Big news for Austin Hooper. But first, it's Yeah, Man, No Man with Bo Morgan. What you got working?
All right, right before Dari Noka joined us, you guys talked about Antonio Brown's tweet as he fires back at Bruce Arians, and he apparently attacked Emmanuel Sanders as well. Well, there was a part of the tweet that I really wanted to focus on and ask you guys a question based off of. Brown says, Arians now wears Kango hats and glasses, but I'm a diva. So, now remember, we have a dear, dear friend of our show and station.
He's
who wears,
a dear, dear friend of mine.
Well, Arians is, but we have another dear, dear friend who wears Kango hats and glasses, and Jason Longshore.
Yeah,
right.
Does wearing Kango hats and glasses make you a diva?
No. God, no. And Bruce is cool. I mean, what, a man can't have style that makes you a diva? Bruce was asked about Antonio Brown. He said he's being a diva. And he would know because he coached him for 2 years, you know? I mean, and I don't think there's really any undeniable, irrefutable evidence otherwise that he isn't a diva, right?
No, listen.
And by modern standards of diva in sports.
LL Cool J made those Kangols pretty cool, right?
I mean, you got one?
I do have them. And actually, I look good in them. But
you wear glasses?
Why don't you rock that next time we out?
It's been a while since I've actually rocked them.
You can wear it backwards like Samuel L. Jackson.
You can do that too. But no, man, give me a break. I mean, this is just Antonio Brown lashing out and being a diva like he was called out. There's nothing wrong with wearing those hats. And as a matter of fact, like Jason Longshore, that's his style, man. That's his giddy up. I have no problems with it whatsoever.
You know what? Now, let me ask you this. Would I look like a doofus in a Kangol hat? If I go with the LL Cool J kind of like, you know, the sort of the poofy bucket, you know, it's kind of got like a texture to it, like the Bermuda bucket hat.
I'd have to see you in it, Mike. It's hard to imagine right now trying to put one on you.
I'm on Amazon right now. I'm just going to order one. This will be a little late Christmas present to myself.
Order one and then wear it.
And if I look like a doofus, Sam, another gift for you.
Are you going to wear it with those glasses? That'd be pretty cool.
No, again, by the way, I'm trying to get used to it. It's getting better and better. You know, I'm not, you know, I struggled at first trying to wear these all the time. I'm supposed to, like the doctor says. I'm not going to do the LASIK.
But you are wearing them more.
Right.
Yeah, there was a time where you'd be in here squinting.
I can't see. Yeah. Problem is, as you get fatter, you look like Mr. Potato Head. But anyway, getting back, what is the question? No, I don't think you're a diva by wearing a Kangol hat.
Yeah, no man is my answer.
Okay, well, you don't got a shot at me. AB said it. I just repeated it. All right.
Back to Cali. Cali.
LL.
A recent study was done on double dipping or the five-second rule. And the basis of it was, you know, let's figure out which one is worse, the double dip or the five-second, which one gives more bacteria and more germs. Well, the rule basically said that double dipping is filled with more bacteria than the average floor.
All right, stop right there. Let's explain.
All right, so you eat a cheese stick. They'll say this marinara sauce. You, me, we got a bunch of stuff from Domino's. By the way, thanks to Domino's, by the way, who brought us a bunch of those delicious
pizzas.
Medium three-topping pizzas, and we went to town on that. But let's say we had some cheese sticks, and we have there's a marinara sauce we're all dipping in.
Okay.
I take a cheese stick, so I've exposed my mouth to the cheese.
Your mouth?
And then I put the cheese stick that I had bitten back in. Now my mouth germs are in the marinara sauce.
Yes, okay.
That's not cool.
And people do this all the time.
That's why you should never double dip. It's disgusting.
People do it with chips and salsa, right?
Oh, you get one bite per the chip per dunk.
I'm just saying. I've seen this. I want to make sure explaining this.
Can you flip the chip around
side? Now, the mozzarella stick you can flip around again because it hasn't been in your mouth.
You should not double dip with the chips and salsa or the dip chips and queso. The same thing.
Not a double dipper, but if you don't. All right, we were getting too in depth on this.
No, I mean, if you turn it around to an unexposed portion that has.
That's what I'm saying.
But are your fingers clean? Who knows where your fingers are?
No, there is no unexposed portion. You've bitten off a piece of the chip, which has been in your mouth.
He's going with the prospect this is a very large chip that hasn't broken in the bag, and then you could actually flip the chip around, and then the uneaten portion would then go in the bowl.
The answer's no.
There's a lot of work going on here.
There is. And we need to bring in scientists for this.
You've got to maximize your chips, Carl.
Yeah, right, but listen, chips are not that damn big. What's the question?
All right. So it basically says you're at more risk if you double dip and eat and have a double dip salsa bowl than you are if you drop it on the floor. Because the average floor has less bacteria than a double dip salsa bowl. So, yeah, man, no, man, you go by the 5-second rule.
Yes, I drop food all the time off the floor and eat it. I've been doing that my entire adult life.
On my floor, because I clean it, not other people's floors.
5-second rule.
I'm sorry. That to me is the difference.
Like, now, again, if I'm in New York Subway, I'm in New York Subway, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Our office, yes. If I drop it on the floor, I will put it back on.
Whoa. Can't do it. Nope. I don't know when the last time this place has been vacuumed.
I don't think it's ever been vacuumed.
Okay. At home, yes.
But I think there's so much filth on our carpet, it creates a protective layer. So I think you're okay.
I can't do with the 5-second rule unless I'm at the house.
I've seen some of the things way in the New York subway the two times I was there that I've seen in this room,
and
this
that's
building.
Unless Maximus beats me to it. Right. If you drop, I'm lucky to get there. Anyways, that's my boxer. Go ahead.
All right, so we're done with that. You guys, speaking of done with, remember the Ghostbusters relaunch that they did a couple years ago?
Yes, with the ladies. With the ladies.
Yeah, I never saw it. It didn't appease me. Well, remember the original Ghostbusters that Ivan Reitman did? Well, his son, Jason Reitman, tweeted out, I believe it was this morning or last night, he goes, I finally got the keys of the car. Let's make another Ghostbusters.
Here we go, an original Hollywood idea.
Now, he's a good director. He did Thank You for Smoking, which is one of my favorite movies of the 2000s, but I don't know about it. Why do you – this same conversation we're having with – you know, it's one thing if you're doing a sequel, Carl, but to relaunch something 30 or 40 years or whatever long afterwards, and I'm not – no interest. I would have no interest in new Ghostbusters.
To clarify just real quick, it will be a sequel to the second one. It will not be a relaunch. It's supposed – from the way they have phrased it, it won't be a reboot. It's just going to be a sequel to the one that
was last made.
All right,
so Bill Murray – well, Harold Ramis is dead.
No. Yes. Are you saying – The one with the women or the Bill Murray movie?
No, he is completely going away from that. He's going to the Bill Murray, the originals.
Yeah.
First of all,
Ernie Hudson is doing car insurance commercials. He needs to work, Carl.
You can never recreate this song. Okay. You're moving your head right now.
Right.
You can't recreate this. Don't do it.
You know what? You know what Ray Parker Jr. reminds me of?
What's that?
The Boss.
During Halloween, you hear this all the time now. This is a classic.
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters.
You can't recreate this. I'm sorry.
By the way, his song "I'm in Love with the Other Woman," fantastic tune.
Ray Parker Jr. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, find that one later, Sam. But anyway, no, no interest, Carl. You're interested in a sequel with the original cast members that are still alive.
And I get it. The son is the director's son. Yada yada. No interest.
Right.
No, man.
Ivan Reitman also did Up in the Air. His son did Up in the Air.
I like
George
that movie.
Clooney movie.
That's
I like
a good
that
movie.
Back to
movie.
You.
Well, you know what? A lot of people are excited about it. So, way to poo-poo it there,
Are
Carl.
You excited about it?
I really don't care.
Okay. Thank you.
How about something original from Hollywood?
Thank you, Bo.
All right. Real quick. Netflix is raising its prices.
Who is?
Netflix.
I'm out.
So, can I finish before you say you're out?
How much? What are we talking about here?
I'm out.
It's good stock to have, by the way. It was hot the other day.
So the most popular plan is going to go up $2 from 11 to 13.
They're robbing me. It's a lot of dough, Bo.
Yeah, I'm sure that $13 a month is it. $2 extra. You spend that a day at your quick trip stops where you get those bags
full of. Why are they raising the prices?
Because they're making good stuff and there's a market for it, so why not, right?
They're raising it because they spent like $1 billion
in production?
Or something on production, and they spent like twice as much, or it was way more than a billion, twice as much as HBO. So they're having to pay for this. They don't have as many subscribers, I don't guess, as HBO, and the price is cheaper. Because HBO costs $15 a month.
I watch more stuff on Netflix than anywhere else. I just do at this point. I've said this. Hulu, Netflix, all this. Mm-hmm. I watch more stuff there than I do on regular cable.
I'll pay. I won't be happy about it, but I'll pay. I mean, they give me
They know that.
Oh, I know. But don't get me started
They got you by the ball.
Don't get me started. Do I get a refund for missing half of the playoffs this weekend thanks to the fog?
You know what? This segment's over now.
They got you by the phenomenon.
You ain't lying, Joe. Nowhere to go. Hey, man, we got a Falcon report on the way. What the heck's going on with Tack
They've
McKinley?
They've got you right there, and they're holding them.
Yes. See, they got leverage on you. They have leverage. We'll come back. Falcon report next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.